All right, let's get right into our freshwater side of things with Captain Wayne Miller on the Mobile Tensile Delta. Captain Wayne, you having a good day?
Yeah, man. You know, we started out this morning, like Joe mentioned, we had that little cool front come through and actually felt pretty good this morning. And we still got a little breeze blowing. It's hot, but it's not unbearable. You know, most of us are acclimated to August. The true August, and we're not seeing that right now, that's for sure. So it's, you know, it's a pretty good day. I'm actually down on Dog River today, and, you know, we've caught quite a few redfish, caught some really good flounder, bass fish. You know, just bouncing around trying some different things. But
Now, hold up a minute. We got to talk about that now. So let's hear how you caught those. Is that crankbaits or worms? What's going on there?
The flounder that we caught and some of the redfish. Now, some of the redfish have been on crankbaits, but the flounder have been on soft plastic. And, you know, we've been pretty much going up in the creeks and finding outside bins that, where you've got, you know, a drop of water, you know, down to the anywhere from 6 to 8 feet. And, you know, the tide was high this morning. The fish weren't real active, but they were stacked up in those on those outside bins. And it was just a matter of getting the bait in front of them and soaking it and letting them decide finally that they wanted to eat it. But, you know, this past week has actually been a pretty decent week on the middle and upper delta. You know, we've had, of course, some pretty heavy rains in the afternoons that have stained up some of the local creeks. But the main rivers are in pretty good shape, and it continues to take some really good weight to win the local tournaments. I know last weekend they had a big bass tournament out of Live Oak. I think they had close to 80 boats, and Rick Haney from Bay Minette and his partner won that event with right at 15 pounds. So, you know, and there were several other boats that were right up there, you know, on that weight. So it wasn't just one boat that had them. So, you know, the Delta just continues to, you know, really churn out some real quality fish.
It sure does, Wayne. And the conditions in the Delta this weekend should be pretty good for fishing, right?
Yeah, it really should. And, you know, down on the south end, we're starting to see, you know, quite a few shrimp down there. And, you know, one thing to keep in mind, man, is these redfish. I mean, there's just over the last couple of years, it's just truly been an explosion of redfish on the Delta. I mean, you just, you better enjoy catching them because you just about can't get away from them. And that's a good thing. But, but, you know, we're catching a lot of them on crankbaits and even on the soft plastic, anything. I've always loved watermelon chartreuse. I don't know that chartreuse is just a real trigger on those redfish. They love that. So, yeah, that's something to keep in mind if you're out there. You know, it's, if you're catching bass and redfish, a lot of times you'll catch them on the exact same bait.
You're right, and we're getting close to that magical month of September. We're always looking forward to what we call the September surprise in the Delta because you can catch speckled trout, redfish, flounder, bass, bream, crappie, mullet, you just name it. In September, everything's in there.
Yeah, man. You know, I mean, we start seeing that water temperature fall, and it's just an absolute, you know, feeding frenzy. It's a magical time to live here on the coast, you know, and starting in September all the way through December. So, you know, I know a lot of you guys love to hunt, but man, you ought to think twice before you put that boat up for the year.
Going to have to diversify a little bit.
No, I say go hunting.
That's right. Joe wants them all to go hunting, so he'll have the water to himself.
That's right, Joe. I like that idea.
All right, Wayne, you have a great weekend, bud.
Okay, guys. Y'all have a good one.
All right. Our old buddy Mike Thompson standing by with a report on the upper Mobile Bay. How you doing, Mike?
I'm doing fine, Alan, Joe.
Well, how's the fishing this week?
Well, the participation is down, but the guys that are going out are doing well. I talked to the Scott brothers this morning, and they had several boats come in with nice catches of bass. They were catching those on white spinnerbaits fished along the grass edges of the river. Now, they didn't catch any redfish like I heard Wayne talk about, but the bass were nice and chunky. Up to the top of the bay, they mentioned something that they saw the other day. They said there was thousands of shrimp on the surface, not, you know, down on the bottom. He said it was almost like a shrimp jubilee, and there was a lot of bird activity, birds diving on them, and, you know, they were out there to shrimp, so they didn't do any fishing, but I can assume there would be some specks and white trout under there. Moving on down towards Theodore, they're still catching those white trout and those ground mullet at the T at the Ship Channel and the Theodore Channel. And had kind of a sad story about Theodore. There was a couple of guys fishing that weren't too familiar with the rules. They did know that a mangrove snapper must be a 12-inch minimum, but they didn't realize there was a limit on them, and the game warden popped up on them, and they had about double their possession limit. And he was charitable to them. He made them give up the overage on the fish, and he wrote them out a ticket for a minimal, you know, amount versus ticketing them for every last fish they had over the limit. So that's you got to know the rules when you're out there, and you only allow 10 of those mangrove snapper.
Well, they're stacked up in that industrial canal. How are people fishing for them? How are they catching them?
They're catching them with real small live shrimp. They like real small live shrimp. Of course, they'll hit a big one, but the little ones are the ones they really like. And they'll also hit small minnows, too. You can take your cast net and throw it along the bank, and they'll hit those minnows. But you only get one opportunity. You know, when the cork goes down, you better be setting the hook, because they'll strip you real clean.
Mike, offshore, when we find these mangroves, they seem to be very finicky out there in terms of they don't like a heavy line. In my experience, I've had to use fluorocarbon and a very small hook. Do you find that matters in that dirtier water in the industrial canal?
The guys that fish the industrial canal, I don't think they're using small hooks or fluorocarbon.
Okay.
They're just out there fishing. But you're right, that's a finicky fish, and they steal more bait from you than you get any benefit out of, but that's part of fishing. Now, I tell you what's really hot right now, and a lot of our listeners either don't have a boat or they might have a boat in the shop. They are drilling the white trout at night off of Cedar Point Pier right now. They're having tremendous catches on them down there, but it's got to be after dark before they really get to going, and they're catching them on little small pieces of squid, real thin slices of squid with a real light weight, and you throw it out and you let it get out just beyond the lights. And, you know, the squid is so light and it's in the current and it's wavy and moving and it looks alive, and you can load them up that way. You can also catch them on cut mullet, but they've been in there so thick they're catching them on grubs. They're catching them on shrimp tail grubs. In the white color with the chartreuse tail. So it's on right now. So if you don't have a boat and you want to get in on some good fishing, Cedar Point at night is the place to be.
What about those triple tail? I'm still seeing a lot of good pictures of triple tail. What's the story on those?
Well, I haven't seen a whole lot of activity. You know, the fishing has slowed down. Of course, a lot of the guides are out there, you know, hitting them pretty hard. But I haven't heard a lot about it. You know, with all this rain and this lightning, you only have that short window in the morning to go. But now that the weather has tapered off, I would say this weekend is going to be fantastic for it.
Yes. This time of year, it can be hit or miss, but if you can get out there and spend your time on the water, it's definitely a good time. You just, you know, key in on getting yourself some really nice-sized live shrimp if you can get them. Probably ought not be that hard to come by. Working any vertical structure in the bay is going to be key. Looking for tide lines, if you can get elevated and find some tide lines or any kind of flotsam in the water, stands a chance there will be a triple tail underneath it. Well, thanks for that report, Mike.
Okay, guys.
Bobby Abrascato is with us, going to give us a report on the inshore side of things. How you doing, Bobby?
Good afternoon, Big Al. How are you?
We're doing good, man.
Well, I just now came out of my coat and mittens and everything, man, with this cold front we had come through. It's getting right, boys, I tell you. I don't know, maybe just a little teaser or something. I know we're not done with all the hot weather, but, man, it was pleasant today.
Feels invigorating, doesn't it?
It does. Yes, exactly right. You know, even though when you get out of the breeze, this I just got through cleaning fish, and we were kind of out of the breeze, and it gets a little, still gets a little toasty. It reminds you that it's still August, you know. But, you know, the interesting thing is, too, if you keep up with water temperature, the water temperature now is, you know, I think with the combination of the squalls that we've been getting, you know, and the wind that generates and a little bit of rain, and then this, of course, a little bit cooler nights, you know, the water temperature's dropped a few degrees. It's still up in the 80s, but, you know, sometimes just that little bit of a water temperature change will help things out. And we spent the whole day today up in some shallow water. We've got this pretty big tide right now that we're on, and, you know, all of that kind of came together with a little bit of north wind and whatever to you know, for it to work for us up in the shallow water, but it's still not like a hammer bite, you know, kind of back to one of those deals where it's, you know, two here, five there, couple here with a redfish thrown in. By the way, we saw four blackfish today and caught one of them, but we did hair lip two of them. So there's two that are wounded. The one that we caught, we let go. So there's some blackfish out there too. And I don't know, you know, we had really good conditions for it today with this big bright sky, especially a little later in the morning when the wind laid down, but I don't know if there's not been a kind of a big push of some fish kind of coming up into the bay and up in the sound now. I don't know what kind of reports you guys have got heard some reports, but anyway, there's been some, to me, it seems like a pretty decent number of blackfish.
Something's
know,
changed.
Right now, too.
Something's changed, Bobby. I was on the Alabama Saltwater Fish Report podcast yesterday, and I was talking to Matthew Isbell over in Gulf Shores, Orange Beach area, and they're starting to catch bull reds all in the surf. And, you know, the cobia bite has been really good just outside of Mobile Bay. And both of those indicators are a little early, really. Usually that's kind of a September deal. And here we are, you know, 10 days or 8 days, 7 days from September, and that bite is starting to switch around.
Yeah, I'm kind of curious to see what all happens, you know, especially as we go into next week when it warms back up. But I can tell you that one thing from, you know, I've been asked, you know, the group today was even concerned about the local rain doesn't affect the lower end of the bay. I mean, the water is absolutely beautiful. Even the windblown water is plenty pretty enough to fish. But when you get out, like, in the sound and up in the bay, you know, out in the bay, God, the water is just absolutely beautiful. It's so salty and so clear down here right now, you know, to where, you know, those species like you're talking about, I think that probably has a lot to do with that wave of that, those, you know, fish coming in like that.
I know you're fishing a tournament this weekend, so I won't ask you for any specifics, but...
well, you could ask me, and I couldn't tell you because I don't know what I'm going to do.
Right. Yet, but I talked to your partner yesterday, Rich Rutland. He's telling me that he was doing pretty well on redfish and caught some flounder even up around the causeway. And he said you were kind of on the looking, scouting the trout out. You know, you mentioned you talked about how you've been catching those. You still feel like deep structure is going to be something for this weekend?
I do. I think, you know, at least, you know, unless something happens in the next day or so, I just think the deal's going to be, you know, some kind of live bait. Unless you do it real early in the morning, you know, I caught a gigantic trout last week and real early in the morning. But I just think the true pattern is still going to be that deep structure, maybe particularly around some tide changes where there's some current. You're going to have to fish around the tide change. And I think it's going to be, you know, probably going to be like a finfish deal, like a croaker or a hoagie or something like that. You don't have to catch a lot of fish in this thing this weekend. There's just, you know, because it's 2 days and it's not really a big number of fish, you know, so you really have to get out there and target, you know, just a few big fish, I think, if you're going to do well in this thing. It's not going to be one of these deals where you need to go out and catch 30 or 40. Matter of fact, you're probably catching 30 or 40 fish. You're not going to do too well in it, you know, you know, unless you're catching 30 or 40 6-pounders like Alan does, you know. But anyway, it's going to be – I think that's going to be the deal, which, you know, we'll see how that all pans out. But that's that – if nothing happens here in the next couple – the next day or so, that's what we're going to be doing.
Well, good luck to you, buddy. We're rooting for you.
All right, man. I appreciate it. Y'all have a good weekend.
All right. Thank you, Bobby. I want to go up to Pickwick Lake and the Bear Creek chain of lakes and talk to our good friend Brad Whitehead. Captain, how you doing today?
Man, I am doing great. Woke up this morning and it was 64 degrees, and I absolutely love it.
Yeah, it makes you want to go plant a food plot or something. At least for me, it does.
Oh yeah, yeah. it's put these fish in a different gear. Got a good report and a bad report. The bad report, the crappie are still, our numbers are still low. Mm-hmm. We're still not breaking, you know, 20, 25 a day. You know, we're still waiting on them to pull into our treetops down at the Bear Creek Lakes is one of the places that we hit.
What's the temperature of the water there?
87.
Okay.
So, you know, that it needs to drop just a little bit, which next couple of nights, they're showing to get in the low 60s up here, so we're hoping you know that'll bring those fish into the tops. And I've had some questions about that. You know, why do they do that this time of year? And basically, it's kind of like pulling the drain out of your bathtub. These fish are going to find something to get close to that's got water on top of it. So that's the reason you try to target these treetops this time of year.
Brad, you were talking about the water temperature, and I was talking with a gentleman this past weekend. We were talking about Lake Gunnersville, and he said, you know, you just can't find a reliable source of water temperature information. Where do you get yours? Are you pulling it off your electronics, or do you have a resource?
I pull it off my electronics. Now, there's a couple of websites that are out there, a couple of fishing reports, you know, that he could check with on Facebook. TVA also has one that you can go to, and it'll give the current flow, temperature, water temperature, you know, but sometimes it's just kind of inaccurate because where they get theirs is different parts of the lake, and believe it or not, it can be 2 to 3 different, you know, degrees different from one end to the other.
Sure.
So, you know, I get mine strictly from being on the water.
Well, we're waiting on that to happen with the crappie, but what about the bass?
Well, now let me tell you, we've spent several days on the water. My son's got several tournaments coming up with a high school deal that he's in, and we've been catching some good numbers of fish. Mainly your jigs, your swim baits has been really, really popular. The cooler temperatures are starting to push the shad up on top of the water, so a lot of the schooling fish are happening early in the morning and late in the afternoon. You know, I counted 12 schools of shad Sunday afternoon in one area, you know, so that's going to be awesome. It's fixing to get good. We'll start live bait fishing in the next couple of weeks, so that's something I'll be glad to share with you guys, you know, fishing with threadfin shad up here below the dam, so that's going to be really fun to get started up here in the next couple of weeks.
That sounds good. Now, have you heard anything about the catfishing up there? Because the catfishing's been really good down at Miller's Ferry and in the Delta lately. What about up there?
Now, I noticed we actually put in below one of the dams, and I did notice a couple of guys actually fishing from the bank that had a few on the stringer, you know, and that's going to get good, too. It's like everything else. Once these temperatures start to drop, it's going to get these fish active. They're going to start feeding again. And, you know, you don't have that 2 to 3 hour window in the morning and afternoon like you're having right now. You'll be able to have it 6-7 hours during the day that they'll be able to feed. So
that's
we're
right.
Looking forward to that.
Well, hopefully these cool nights are going to bring those crappie and make them act right for you. And we'll check in with you next week, man, and find out what's happening then.
Hey, thank you very much, and you guys have a good day.
All right, Brad, thank you so much. You guys can contact Brad by calling 256-483-0834 to book a trip up there. All right, I want to check with my good buddy Captain Michael Walker up at Lake Martin and see what's happening up there for you weekend anglers. How you doing, Michael?
Doing good. How are you?
We're doing good, man. Starting to get a little hint of fall early in the morning. And how's the striper fishing, first of all, in Lake Martin?
Yeah, it's honestly, it's been the best it's been probably in two summers. We're extremely high numbers of fish. 4 hour trips are usually ending in about 2.5 hours due to enough fish caught. I mean, really hadn't seen a bite like this in, again, about 2 years, so can't ask for anything more.
What do you attribute that big surge to up there?
I mean, last year we had such a crazy weather pattern. Then we had a fish kill the year before. So I think the last 2 years have kind of had, we just had bad summers. And this summer we've got about a 7-degree difference in water temperature than where we should be right now. It's actually a lot cooler. So I think we have more oxygenated water throughout the water column, which gives the fish a little more ability to not feel pinned down, and they're definitely not as tight and more aggressive right now.
Now, Michael, I understand you're guiding now down on West Point?
Yes, sir.
Well, tell us a little bit about West Point. What's going on down there?
Man, West Point gives you the opportunity in the summertime to catch probably more strike than you've ever caught on a single trip. The size is going to be a little bit smaller than Lake Martin on the average. Your average size at West Point right now is going to be about a 4 to 7 pounder. They're bigger fish. You're way up the Chattahoochee River, almost close to Six Flags right now. Their bigger fish don't come back down into the main lake until about November. But for the rest of the summer until about October, if you have kids and you want nonstop action, it's hard to beat. We're out of bait every trip. We don't leave until pretty much we're out of bait.
So. Man, a 4-hour trip on West Point, you could probably do that and go to an Auburn game all in the same day.
Yeah, you're only about 35 minutes away?
Yeah.
Not far at all.
Well, what about the crappie?
Crappie on Lake Martin are doing okay. Decent numbers, smaller fish. They are right now between 30 and 40 feet on a really steep bluff with structure right next to it.
Wow. I don't think I've ever fished for crappie that deep. I'm going to have to come up there and try that someday.
You know, our crappie guide, Chad Miller, is one of the best on Lake Martin. Yeah. Definitely should give it a try one day for sure.
And that was, you know, I was talking to Brad not earlier in the show, and that's all going to change pretty soon. The crappie, as the water temperatures drop, they'll start moving in on the structure better.
Yeah, they should be moving up, especially with the way the water temp is, even at 82. We've kind of expected them to kind of move back up to that 20 to maybe 30-foot shelf, but maybe it's just an oxygen comfort, or maybe the just perfect temperature for where they're comfortable for right now, but it's not going to be long before they're moving on up.
Explain exactly how you fish 40 feet down for a crappie.
Live bait.
No other
live
way.
Live bait, and we troll artificials. We do a lot of trolling during this time, and typically that's how we target them during this time of year.
Well, that's a lot of line to let out and troll with. I guess you have to have some pretty heavy weight on it.
Yeah, typically we're using 3-ounce weights. So it'll keep it pegged down to speed that we're going to be on.
My goodness gracious. Well, I understand now. All right. Well, Michael, I appreciate it. Give us your phone number in case somebody wants to book one of these trips on one of these lakes with you.
It's 205-362-8322.
All right. That's Captain Michael Walker. Thank you so much, buddy.
All right. Y'all have a good one.
All right, let's go to Miller's Ferry and talk to Joe Dunn. How you doing, Joe?
Doing great, Alan.
What's the water conditions for the weekend?
They're going to be great. I mean, we got to fish some last weekend, and the water's done cleared up. And it's looking real good right now.
Well, you and I both love to target crappie, first of all. So what's the pattern for the crappie?
Like I said, it's still running a little slow right now with the water temperature done got as hot as it is. But, you know, you're going to fish mainly in the river channels or the main channels of the bigger feeder creeks that come into the river and target some type of structure right along the edge of it. They're going to be, you know, meandering around it when they're not pulling water. When they're pulling water, they'll be tied into it because all the shad that's in the river right now, like I said, it is a bunch of shad. But I didn't get to do any crop fishing this past weekend. We got to targeting the catfish and did real good on those, so we kind of stuck with that.
Now, this time of year, you're using those noodles for catfish and using long lines, right?
Yes, we did some of that, but we got to getting out there just sitting there tight line and off on some of those holes around the mouths of those creeks and cuts. And actually where I caught that big cat a few years ago, right there in front of my house. Donna, she caught one this past weekend, big yellow, probably around 30 pounds. Mm. And then we had a few blues, you know, in that 18 to 25-pound range that we caught these on rod and reel. Mm. So it's a blast when you catch them on the rod and reel, too, now.
Yeah.
And that was a lot of fun this past weekend.
I know you're throwing a cork out on that rod and reel, or are you using a cork or not?
No.
Okay, you're just on the bottom.
Using about a 2-ounce weight, you know, when we're catching, getting some shad with the cast net, and some of the bigger fish come off like some of the bigger gizzard shad, you know, about 4 inches long, you know, hooking them on there alive.
Uh-huh.
And then most of our smaller fish was on the smaller baits that we had, and we were just threading those small shad on there. And you know, the little ones will knock those off pretty quick, so you go through those real fast. But the bigger live baits, the little ones really didn't harass those. And when you saw that line go to getting tight, you knew it was going to be a big one, usually with that big bait.
Joe, explain to a catfish novice like myself, when you say tight lining, I know what I mean. I know what that means in saltwater. But explain to me your process for tight lining. Are you using the current? Or are you casting and bringing it back to the boat?
Well, actually, we're, like I said, no. Right now, there's not a whole lot of current, so we don't need a whole lot of lead. About a 2 ounce is what we've been using. And we use like a bank sinker on the bottom, and you tie, then come up about, 2 foot, and then tie out with a leader, 6 to 8 inches long,
mm-hmm.
and put your hook on there. And then, like I said, if we were targeting the littler fish, which we had reels set up both ways, you'd use a smaller hook and then thread those smaller shad on the hook. And if you're targeting the bigger fish, well, you use, anywhere from a 3 to 4-aught, like circle hook,
mm-hmm.
we use circle hooks, and then hook that shad on there alive, hook him either through the top of the back or through the eyes. And then, flip him out there and just let him swim around, do his thing.
Do his
thing. Felt that thud.
That's very similar to what we call a fish finder rig when we're fishing offshore, doing like deep dropping for grouper and scamp, that kind of thing. Real similar.
Right.
The secret to catfishing in those rivers is to keep that bait near the bottom, but not down in the mud. Am I right?
Oh, yeah, yeah. And like you said, what we were doing, you could pull up. They're not everywhere, but you look for those places that's going to have the current coming across it. When it pulls water, you want off the ledge in front of those places or where the current's coming out of places.
Mm-hmm.
You want to be right there.
Good idea. That's a great report, Joe. Thank you so much.
All right. Y'all have a good weekend.
All right.